Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 30 for November 14th, 2014.
From the Redwood Forest to the Nut Factory Studio at River West, Wisconsin, it's the Weekly Dose of Fat Radio Hour with your hosts, Sven Hammer and Gomez Alejandro Santana de Aldo.
Are you going first this week?
I'm the wind, and you are the sky.
Do you see how I just jammed it right in there?
Radio.
And joining us in the studio today is the man with the plan and an outstretched hand, Mr. J.K. Livin, ladies and gentlemen.
It's my pleasure to announce you to Mr. Chris Daisy and the all-electric Zion Cyclery Band.
Hey, guys.
Our show is sponsored by the new Surly t-shirt that says, "Seriously," on the front, with no vowels, except Y, that little shit, which is only a vowel when it wants to be. Learn more about bikes and freedom at Surly Bikes.
Freedom!
Freedom.
So what's on the
not overrated
Freedom Radio program today, Freedom Singer Living Freedom?
Well, on this week's show, we have the beer and interweb shaman that Gomez, you, have been promising for the last few weeks, Mr. Julio.com.
He
interviewed global
things in a good spot.
We interview Global Fat Bike Summit's Gary Soquist.
Yeah!
Did we get snow, too?
Snow! Yes, we got lots of snow! Let the dancing of the snows begin. And we have a lot of links.
We were going to have a story about a Canadian fat bike, but it got hung up in customs. Beyond the Canadian fat bike, we have mi amigo, Julio.com. He's finally here. It's looking
in person. Nice haircut, Julio.
My haircut today.
Nobody
said anything. I shaved just for this occasion.
Did you go to the one where all the girls get your beer and then cut your hair and stuff?
You know, that's why you need to go to Julio.com.
Of course.
Seriously?
My hair is sponsored by Julio.com.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I have no why for you today. Julio is going to be our beer pharmacist and also host a segment about the wisdom of the interwebs. Kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
I agree it is.
Something along the lines of the stupidest things that you read on the forums each episode?
Yeah, something like that. But I'll say, guys, it's my privilege and my honor, I think, to be here sharing these mics with you. I'll do my
best. There's a mic right there.
Yeah, there's mics. Sharing mics. Michael, I will do my best to serve the greater good of the Fat Bike Podcast listeners.
It's not everywhere. A podcast. It's a radio show.
Podcast, radio show.
Drum circle.
Don't get me fucking started on drum circles.
First, Julio's first beer segment.
All right. Bring it on.
So for this week's fat-bike.com beer selection, we have Revolution Brewing's Unsessionable Imperial IPA, or some would call it a double. This is a massive 10% beer, folks.
10%
ABV, and to those who such things matter, it's got a 99 rating on Beer Advocate, and it's only been out for a couple months. It's got 6 hop varieties.
So they paid all those reviewers to review it?
They did. 6 hop varieties, including Centennial, Citra, Chinook, Amarillo, Galaxy, and Cascade. That's a lot of hops.
Did you hear they landed a satellite on a comet today?
I did. My son and I talked about it.
For crying out loud.
Crazy.
Well, the galaxy got me thinking about satellites. Satellites got me thinking about comets. And so I got to do something while I'm pouring my beer. So
I got to preface this by saying that this is possibly one of the best new-to-me beers I've had in the last 6 months, maybe a year. So if you don't like it, you can all fuck the fuck off. So, but first,
Julio has spoken.
And yes, you barbarians, we're going to drink this out of a glass. You're not going to ruin this like you did Furious a couple weeks ago.
I've just poured mine,
and it's got lots of heat. Trousers!
Hold on.
Look at the head of that kid. It's the size of a planet.
Spin a couple quick pointing pots.
Julio broke his tab off.
Oh,
that happens sometimes. I'm excited to drink this beer, folks.
So what do you have to pour it in a glass? You got
oh my god, they just snorted it.
You have to
my nose.
Take a big smell.
It does not smell like cat piss.
It does not smell like cat piss. Like other
possible.
It's called catty. Take a big smell.
Apricots.
Right off the bat. You mean the fucking apricots. Right off the bat, you get hit in the face with the hops. It's just an awesome aroma. Now, boys, we drink. Cheers.
Let's get into the good point, boy. Finally. All this cheers. Smelling and talking about. Time to drink.
That's freaking delicious, dude. I'm getting all kinds of, like, fruity flavors.
That's right, guys. It's a massive amount of hops in this beer. Extremely well-balanced. And if it weren't for the high ABV, it would indeed be very sessionable.
It's not bitter like we were just – like our fluffer beer was.
No, not like the fluffer beer. But the fluffer beer was a little – despite the high ABV, its booziness is kept fairly well in check. So don't be fooled, gents. This is a creeper.
Just got to ride it off.
I thought that was something.
Just got to ride it on for like 2 miles.
To burn some of that off.
Burn off some of it.
So you get a lot of bitterness. It's never astringent. It's really complex with all those hops. Almost a juiciness to it. You're going to get pine. You're going to get citrus. And yes, Gomez. Gomez, there's your motherfucking grapefruit. A little passion fruit.
It's all mixed together.
Sometimes I get some pear. Absolutely no apricot.
It's a nice pear.
Dry crispness on the tongue.
Christmas?
Christmas on your tongue.
Christmas is like pine, so that would make sense.
Coming, sure. It's very smooth malt balance, a little sweetness on the backside. It's kind of almost like a faint honey.
So what can we cut it with to make it more sessionable? Because I drink this all day long.
You're just going to have to pace yourself, my friend. The Revolution says this is the most drinkable Imperial IPA you'll ever have. I've got to agree. Everyone I know that's tried this beer has the same reaction. Damn, that's good. For an Imperial IPA, it's a really refreshing beer. And as an added bike-friendly bonus, it comes in cans.
Right?
In cans. Yeah. It's
kind of a prerequisite for taking a beer with you on a beach ride. It can't be a bottle. Just...
Yeah, but however.
Although breaking bottles on rocks is cool, though.
I don't know, man. There have been a lot of rides with bottles of beer.
But as you guys can tell, you probably don't want to drink too many of these during a ride. And, of course, it's best out of a glass. But
barbarians.
But if someone handed me one of these on the trail, I wouldn't turn them down, actually. I'd probably give them a big hug. So
you'd give a lot of things hugs.
What do you guys think?
I think it's good really good.
Julio.com beer?
I'm a little concerned about the actual 10% portion of the equation because I would love to be a little more aggressive about drinking it than would probably make prudent sense. I could cut it with a PBR, I think. I'd like half PBR, half this. What would you call that?
I'm going to stab you in the neck is what I'm going to call it.
Stab you in the neck, ale.
Oh, I'm going to brew it next time.
Yeah, we should.
Gomez, what do you think?
Well, I'm the tender-tongued one out of the group. That
sensitive flower.
Yeah, I'm the sensitive flower.
Especially
and this is actually not too bitter for me. I think that it's a really you're queasy about trying an IPA, always ask to drink it out of a glass because it changes the beer completely. And
especially when it smells like cat piss.
This has those mango and pear flavors is what really came
and the grapefruit
to the
you've
for me.
Long been yearning for.
Yeah, it's like an everlasting gobstopper. It keeps changing and giving you different flavors.
Yeah.
Kind of a grapefruit rind.
And really, I didn't taste that much bitter at all in this. It was more a sweet tart flavor of true mango tropical awesomeness.
A lot of the citra, a lot of the galaxy coming through for you. That's those hops all playing very nicely together.
How about you, JK? What'd you think of this beer?
I liked it. I was like,
I liked it.
I liked it.
No, I could see myself drinking a good handful of these, but
right,
dangerously so.
I like the idea of putting a couple miles in between them. Yeah. You can burn them off a little bit.
You just have
to ride a little further.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear it, boys. I'm glad you enjoyed my first direct contribution to this fine program.
Yeah, fine.
Well, we'll be back with Gary Showquist, the director of fun at the Global Fat Bike Summit in Jackson Hole, y la Gran Titans of Wyoming, and a word from our newest sponsor of the Weekly Dose of Fat, Club Ride.
Hi, this is Paul Ellis from Head Cycling, and our company dogs listen to Sven and Gomez on Fat Bike Radio. These dogs howl at Gomez like he's our mailman.
Sven's wardrobe on today's show is provided by Club Ride of Sun Valley.
Yeah, buddy.
Club Ride brings fashion, radness, with warmth from layers of technical cycling attire that makes sense from the trail head to the town pub.
I feel like a cowboy!
Simmer down there, JK.
Let him go, Sven. A man needs to go lumberjack now and again.
Uh-oh, boys. I think he's going lumber sexual.
I feel like a cowboy.
Oh, that's the fucking way she goes, boys.
Way she goes.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio. Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We've got Gary Schoquist on the line. He is the director of the Global Fat Bike Summit, and he's been doing advocacy stuff for many, many years. So we thought we'd talk a bit to him about the Global Fat Bike Summit and advocacy in general. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. You know, a guy like you that puts his energy into helping everybody else get access to places is just such a great thing for the community as a whole. You've been doing this for an awful long time. How did you get your start in it? What was kind of the genesis of your involvement in mountain bike advocacy in the beginning and now fat bike advocacy, you know, recently?
In 1990, I got my first mountain bike, and the place that I started to ride was going to be closed. And I got pissed. I decided to act, and I put together a little group of people, and we presented an alternative plan, and it worked. It was called Paris Oaks in Burnsville, and then other places started to call me to help with this kind of thing, and I helped put together the Minnesota Off-Road Cyclists, and then we just continued to build mountain bike trails, and one thing led to another. And then when I went to work for QBP in 1998, I never guessed that I would be working on fat bike stuff, but you know, in 2005, when the Pugsley was introduced, all of a sudden I thought, you know, we're going to go through the same struggle here, right?
For sure.
People are going to need to know where to ride and where not to ride. And so that's really how the Fat Bike Summit started.
You've been doing the Fat Bike Summit now for, this is the fourth one.
Fourth one, yeah.
What's changed even in that four short years? I know, you know, you're getting land use managers and park rangers and a lot of public land people and just a whole slew of people that are have access to the land that we want to ride on. What do you see new now in the time that you've been doing this?
Well, first of all, there's still a notion within a lot of land managers that fat bikes are a fad. And so we want to dispel that. We want to, you know, tell these people this is the real deal. You look at the demographics, it's just going to continue. All the manufacturers are involved now. Almost every manufacturer in a bike had a fat bike or a fat bike to display their products. And so it's not a fad. It's going to stay. The second thing is I think we're seeing an evolution where at first people are thinking, okay, in the winter, maybe I could ride on Nordic trails. And some places like Grand Cardi and others are saying, yeah, we can make that work. The next step, and this is what we're going to talk about at the summit, is where places like the Kurt Gowdy State Park in Wyoming is actually going to build 4.5 miles of single track, groomed single track for fat bikes.
That's,
of course, that's a great thing. And so we just want to try and keep that kind of thing going.
I was actually through Cheyenne this past summer and talked to a couple of the guys at the local shop there, and they did mention that Kurt Gowdy area was going to have something specific for fat bikes. That's really great to hear.
Yeah, that's very cool.
With the summit, in the past, it's been kind of a Q-branded thing where a lot of the brands that the quality produces have been kind of the focus. This year, you're opening it up, kind of a big tent for everybody that does fat bike stuff. How's that being received?
Pretty well, actually. I'm really pleased because, you know, our brands are great at QBP, but this is a much bigger effort, and we need the major players involved. And so I'm so happy Trek is involved. Borealis just came on board. Durango Bike Company just came on board. We're actively seeking others to be there. We're talking to Ellsworth. We want as many manufacturers as possible because that's an important message to land managers. That, you know, this is an industry-wide thing, and it helps reinforce that notion. It's not a fad. It's just going to continue. And so I just want as many manufacturers and companies represented at our summit as possible.
If there's industry guys listening to the show, and I know there are, if they want to get a hold of you to discuss being a part of the show, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to fatbikesummit.com. That's the website we put up. They can call me or contact me at QBP. My QBP email address is just GarySam@QBP.com. And I'll send them any kind of information that they need. We just really encourage everybody to take this opportunity. opportunity to think about. This is a really unique event. It combines access issues with really fun riding opportunities. We're going to do a short track race. I mean, how fun is that going to be? A short track race under the lights on fat bikes.
Yeah, some of my favorite races are short tracks.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, some of our favorite kind of racing is short track. Just the quick action is really fun.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, you're out there with a bunch of your buddies, and it's all elbows and knees, and who can get the line. And afterward, you can all just laugh about it, have a beer, and relive it. So I think it's really going to be fun. We're also going to do an industry ride, and so this is kind of cool too, because I always think about, you know, people who buy fat bikes, and they want to ask a question like, why is this fat bike this way? Why is it, you know, so many millimeters, or why is the geometry this way? Or why? Well, at our deal, you're going to be able to ride alongside the people who actually manufacture the bikes. They design them, they engineer them, they love them, they're passionate about it. And so you get a chance to ride alongside them and ask about that. I think that's a pretty cool deal.
So the Global Fat Bike Summit's going to be in Jackson Hole. What are the dates it's running?
It's January 23 through 25.
Okay, 2015.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I know I'll be out there.
Great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. As soon as I heard it was in Jackson Hole, I was definitely like, yep, I'll go.
Hey, Gary, this is Gomez. You had mentioned that there was going to be a guided ride into one of the national parks or one of the national forests during the summit?
Yeah, you know, when Scotty Fitzgerald from Fitzgerald Bicycles and I started this back in 2012, the goal was to get fat bike access into national parks like Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. Right now they're prohibited because they're technically a wheeled vehicle. And so we started on this pursuit to try and overturn that or figure out a way to overcome that. And that's why we're actually in Jackson Hole, because there is a new superintendent of the National Park at Grand Teton National Park. And so this is a great opportunity. Superintendents have the ability to oversee different prohibitions. And if they decide they like something, they can actually make it happen in their national park. And so we have a great opportunity to do that. That's really why we're in Jackson this year.
So the Global Fat Bike Summit has mostly been in snow areas like either the Rockies or in the Midwest here up in northern Wisconsin. Is there any kind of push to do any kind of beach-oriented fat bike summit? There's a lot of, you know, shoreline access issues, just like there are with everywhere else. Have you guys given any thought to that?
Yeah, we have a little. We've decided, for now, the Jackson Hole deal is going to focus on winter use. But certainly, as we see more dual suspension fat bikes being introduced, more products, we're probably going to get into that area too. You know, I'm driven partly by our product, the QBP, and they're waiting sort of to see how this dual suspension thing works out, what other manufacturers are involved. But if they ask me to get involved, I certainly will get involved. There are a lot of the same lessons and strategies in play, and you just need someone to talk to at the right levels and work out the access issues.
Well, we could sure host a beach one here in Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we can talk.
I think so, too. Maybe we could do a Great Lakes Fat Bike Summit that focus on the beach opportunity.
Yeah, we would like that, because that's something that we do a lot of, and we've been proponents of, and have ideas about what restrictions make sense and et cetera. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very good, Gary. It's been good having you on the show. Thanks for sharing information about the summit, and look forward to seeing you out there in a couple of months.
All right. Good enough. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Thanks for being on the show.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Hi, this is Joe from Graham Cycles. And when I'm down in my workshop building custom fat bikes, I'm listening to Fat Bike Radio with Benny Gomez.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, one of our Milwaukee fat bike tribe, our friend Tom Lays, got hit by a car this week.
Oh, man. Damn, he's got some bad luck lately. Broke his leg. And
yeah,
he got hit by a car.
He broke his leg or foot in the Sustina 100. Tom's a pretty accomplished ultra
bone
racer.
Breaker.
For real?
And bone breaker, yes. Yeah. Finished the Arrowhead 131. What is that?
135, yep.
I'm trying to search for that number. 135, 136, whatever.
Somewhere in there. Between 134 and 136.
A whole lot of miles.
In there. Yeah, Tom's a great guy, and it's collarbone. Got blown.
Collarbone blown.
Yeah, his collarbone's dislocated. He got knocked unconscious. He doesn't remember anything about what happened. So healing vibes out to you, Tom. Yeah.
Good job. Good luck. Get well. I just saw him last week. We had a beer at Tonic.
Yeah.
Tonic. He was out doing hills.
And did he get hit by a car?
Yeah, and Tom's an old guy like me.
Right. No, yeah, we just met up with him. He was riding, and we had a beer, and then he went on his way. So he was looking good then.
When it comes to fat bikes, Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois has you covered. They stock fatties from Surly, Salsa, 907, Borealis, and Trek, as well as everything from 45 North. The staff is friendly, the mechanics are top-notch, and they stock the largest selection of fat bikes in the Chicago-Milwaukee area. There's a mountain bike park and some great beach riding in Zion, so come, make a day of it. Call 847-746-2200 or visit zioncyclery.com.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program.
Radio! I can't get that out of my head. I had that a few weeks ago, the Mexican radio thing going on. I'm on a fat bike.
Radio!
I think you brought it up. I think we should
probably... fat bike.
Radio! I think we should probably do a whole bit about that, a whole song. We should just do it. Because
Chris Daisy.
Chris can do the keyboards.
And the Zion Cyclery Orchestra.
Chris will do the keys.
They're all out smoking a cigarette at the moment.
Did you see Chris Daisy threw all of his Chicago Bears stuff in the garbage after that game last week?
How about the Bears?
I don't watch football.
Right?
Because I give two fucks about it.
That's what a real Bear fan would say.
Ay, caramba.
All right. The Packers are, doing pretty well against those guys.
I seriously don't watch football.
Let's not digress.
Don't admit that here on Man Radio. This is all men.
Synchronized swimming.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty good, too. You got to fill your sports 24 hours a day, so you might as well watch this.
We have a new segment on the Weekly Dose of Fat.
Do tell.
Julio.com.
Julio.com.
Do you have that registered, or does it actually go somewhere else?
All you listeners should check that out.
Julio.com.
Because above all else, I'm fashionable.
He spells his D-O-T out, though. It's Julio.com. D-O-T-com. So anyway.
Trademark.
Julio, he's our man that has the pulse of the interwebs. And, we've given him a little editorial leeway here to point out perhaps some weaknesses.
Faux pas, perhaps?
Maybe there are some weaknesses out there. What's out there.
Well, I got to tell you, when we were talking about this segment, I really thought that I needed to make a video about one of the portions we decided not to do. But I'm going to make a video about that.
So we're running with this one.
Yeah, in fact, we could do it with your bike.
Sure.
I'm not saying we have to talk about that. I think you've got way better ideas.
But I got better ideas. Yeah. So listen, as I cruise the highways and byways of the internet, I notice things. Some pretty interesting, some intriguing, but some of it just baffles me in its sheer stupidity. And of course, the cycling realm is not immune to the stupidity.
Stupid is.
The stupid does on the internet. Especially at such popular internet hangouts as like MTBR and the Facebooks.
We're not calling anybody out here.
Those things aren't even real.
Those are just popular places. Stupidity exists actually everywhere. Inside of us all, just like Santa Claus.
Well, it takes a real, strong person to let the stupidity out and just go with it.
It does.
Which is obviously why we're doing this show.
The internet seems to really foster that feeling.
It breeds there like a virus.
Case in point, we're doing this radio show on the internet.
Samurai radio shows.
You know what I can say, though? We've evolved from the Mountain Beer and the Facebook, and now we do our own radio show.
Okay, so with that, to help me cope with all this stupidity and add balance to my life, I'm going to vent right here on this very program.
Small.
But a quick disclaimer, if one of our listeners happens to be the perpetrator of this offense,
we're sorry.
I'm actually kind of sorry.
No, we're not.
If you're offended, but not really. But really.
We're not going to tell people their shit is stupid shit without holding them accountable.
Next time, do a little digging on the internet because there's a good chance it's been asked before.
That's right. Spend more time on the internet.
Yeah. Or do some internal soul searching, and you might be able to avoid this kind of embarrassment.
My head's getting spinning.
So, reel it in, boys.
Okay, sure.
So for this week, I can't believe I saw this on the internet. Put it nicely. I saw on a certain internet site this past week somebody who wanted everybody to compare their fat bike to a truck. Seriously, get out of here. Do you have that little going on in your life? Compare your fat bike to a truck.
So well, you know, it's kind of cool. You wanted
people to look at it and say, wow, I picture my truck as a Ford F-150. And put pictures up of it. Go ride your bike.
I don't know. Really?
Go ride your bike.
Hey, man, I got a truck and a bike, too. Hey, you can be on the internet.
Yeah. You can do both. You can drive your truck somewhere and then ride your bike out of it.
My favorite out of all of them, because people actually did reply to this because it is the internet, somebody put a picture up with a Wienermobile.
Like one of the actual Oscar Mayer hot dog Wienermobiles? Those things are cool. Mobile. We used to rust-proof those when I was a Z-Bart guy way back in the way olden days.
Z-Bart.
Yeah, we'd do the frames.
Is that like Mako?
No, it's under, you know, undercoating. Yeah, it's rust-proofing.
Little Oscar.
Kind of like
a 1982 Toyota Camry wagon.
Probably rusted.
Corolla wagon, Z-Barted on the bottom. Nice. That shit rusted out.
Yeah, they had a good warranty, though. They'd fix stuff. But it's just like J.P. Weigel. It's like J.P. Weigel and your steel frame.
Realm of reality here, boys.
Or you J.P. Weigel your steel frame.
I'll Weigel your frame. Oh, no, I won't.
So, yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Beer stop.
Yeah, it's getting to be time to refresh this.
Round two with that 10% ABV.
I want to cool it off a little bit with another one right on the pack.
No, you wanted a little bit.
I want it cooled off.
Can.
You did this to us.
These now official fat-bike.com glasses.
Whoa.
Oh, you
can
know
hold
what?
More than one beer.
I can tell you that if you let this sit in your mouth for a while after you take a swallow, I mean, and don't drink it again and just quaff it, it does kind of evolve.
It does. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting.
The aromas develop.
So you like it better when it's warming up too.
Warming up. It was a little cold, I think, when we poured it.
It's not cellar temperature.
A little above cellar for this one, but.
I like my beer at 33 degrees, maybe 32 if I can get her down there.
Get her down.
Yeah,
this is tasty.
This could be.
I'm going to burp, though, too.
Oh, that's super delicious.
I'm glad you like it, and I hope I don't let you guys down in the future.
Oh, shut up.
We got some good beers. I actually have several on deck.
And by the way, if you compare your fat bike to a truck, kind of an idiot, right?
You got too much time on your hands.
Sometimes. Well,
would you compare your fat bike to? Like, would you compare it to
I'm a little bit like
another bike.
I've taken pictures of my buck and my truck.
An animal,
a fantastic lady.
An animal. What animal does my fat bike my fat bike represent?
But I don't know.
What's their spirit animal?
What's my inner animal?
My bike's I tell you what animal.
It's a belly full of three tacos and some margaritas.
These posts just could be cries for help.
It's all cries for
please,
help.
Please talk to me.
What did people do person. Before the internet?
Anyway, dudes.
Starting in December, call in and win.
Yeah, so we're going to try and take some calls from our three listeners. So,
hope we didn't piss any of them off tonight.
if you're still out there, we'd like you to call in. Starting in December, we're going to give you a phone number at a certain time, Wednesday nights. You know?
True that. We're doing the show on Wednesdays at...
Call in?
Yeah, we're doing it at 7 p.m. Central Time is our basically the time we start doing the show. So that would be 8 p.m., 7, 6, 5 on the 5 on the West Coast.
But how's it going to work?
Not exactly sure.
So people are just going to send in a question. We're going to figure it out.
Oh, that way. You mean the actual – okay, not the technology aspect.
We run all of our technologies on Voodoo and ancient mainframe.
Nobody needs to know the technology.
Oak tree.
Is that like the Aztecs?
How it's going to work is they'll call in and we'll answer questions. Bam. Simple.
Bam. Are you fucking
Fugazi? Aztecs. And
there we go.
No,
what are we doing now?
Turkey.
I just start using cake mix and rubber bands and MacGyver it until we get to the voodoo.
potatoes, French fries.
Oh, no. That one. Yeah, we're fist pumping in here, people.
All right.
I think. Maybe it's the 10% ABV of this beer.
Sven has a story about the Global Fat Bike Summit.
I do?
No, or it's the Fat Bike Berkey After Party.
Do I have a story about that?
I heard there's going to be wood-fired pizza.
Come on, people. This is not television. You can't just give a look like
that.
Oh,
yeah. That's,
it was just like,
that's true.
I know.
What are you talking about, Willis? Was the look.
We should build a wizard staff out of all these unsettling things.
It's a good plan. So since it seems like we're all about sponsoring stuff lately, last week we talked about our involvement in sponsorship with the Global Fat Bike Summit. Just had Gary on the show today. Mm-hmm. Guess that shows we're legit, right?
Legit.
Yeah, we're super legit over up in here. So this week, we started getting ready for the after party at the Fat Bike Berkey, and Mick at Rivers Eatery has agreed to have us back. I don't know, we didn't destroy the joint last year, so I guess he's happy to have us back.
Mick's really good people, man. That dude is...
I said, I want to come back up there, Mick. He goes, good, I'll take care of everything. I go, you know what? That's why I like working with you, because I got, there's other stuff to do for the party, but that's so nice to know that that portion of it's just handled.
Right. And the food is going to be great. And
right.
They always have a Julio.com that takes care of their beer choices.
They got a lot of good local Angry Minnow beers up there.
I heard they're going to have wood fired pizza.
There's a pizza oven thing.
Right.
I don't know if it's fired with wood or gnomes, but it's fired with something. Mm-hmm. And they do make great food. It's in kind of good party portions. It's not like you're going to sit there and have a big meal, but they're also having these tap beers. They're going to have some portion of the proceeds of the sales go to a local trail group for winter trail grooming and improvements for fat bikers.
Namakagan Fat Bike Club.
Namakagan. I finally can actually. I used to say Namakagan or something. I used to goof that up, but I'm back on Namakagan now. I think I'm pretty good.
Namakagan.
I'm going to stay at the Namakagan somewhere up there when I go to the.
You get like
Berkey.
I'm going to get Namakagan. Hand built bicycle show in Louisville.
Lucky man. That's a fun thing to do.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Although Charlotte was pretty good last year, but I like Louisville.
I'm going to get a photo booth, and we're going to put bikes in there, and we're going to make them get pouty for the camera.
I'm going to show up and make Curtis do a wheelie on my bike.
I'd be sweet. You should come with me. Louisville, man. You and me.
Try and get Steve Potts to build a titanium fat bike.
Hey, that was a whole
thing. Don't even sleep in the same room as you again. The gas was so bad.
Use your imagination, kids.
All right. So
hey,
go miss them.
Speaking of imaginations,
I got an imagination.
Fat back bicycles from Anchorage, Alaska.
I'm on a fat back radio.
Oh, yeah.
I will stab you in the neck with this pen.
Is looking for five ambassadors for their brand. These ambassadors are going to get sweet new Carbon Corvus full bikes and. Like a blaze yellow satin jumpsuit emblazoned with the Fat Back logo. They got a new logo.
Does it have breakaway sides?
No.
I don't know.
Could it turn into one of those wingsuits when you go off the edge of the cliff and you actually fly?
Does it have a 1,000-mile chamois?
So I was actually I'm going to be talking to Sonia Looney from Fat Back about working together with them. And she wanted everybody to know, you don't have to be an elite athlete. All you have to do is love fat bikes, have a computer, be able to take great pictures.
Did she say,
fill out this application,
I'm on a
boom,
fat
you could be a total
radio.
Rock star.
Yeah, this is a good opportunity. This is not just for elite athletes. This is for people who have a good story, will be consistently out there riding their bikes, and just love fat biking.
I love fat biking.
I love fat biking.
Julio wants to be one of these ambassadors.
I do. I want the pink skin suit.
Yes, you do.
Pink leopard skins.
We had a call out for Chewy here. We got one just for Chewy right here. It's the Salsa Bucksaw Carbon full suspension fat bike.
I heard they dropped that nugget this week.
Yeah, I read this on the internet, and I immediately went. I climbed to the top of the mountain to seek the guidance.
Fatbag.com-ius?
Chewy, you know, that's the dude that's sitting in a lawn chair with a Pabst at the top of the mountain when you go to seek wisdom. And he said, yeah, let's combine two things I hate most in cycling, carbon and full suspension. Just add an electric motor to it, and we'll hit the trifecta.
Right? Only if it's crank-mounted for the electric motor, then I might go for it. Because
the really kind of interesting thing about this
guys
is...
Guys are going to ride it, though, I'm telling
our,
you.
Our amigo Sven over here, as soon as we were graced with the vision of the Salsa Bucksaw, like three syllables past that was...
Carbon fat bike?
Sven saying, oh, you know what? Next thing we'll see is a carbon version of this.
Of course, it makes sense. Come on.
They already had a carbon.
Oh,
they already had a carbon.
Not that, I'm endorsing it. I ride
oh, that's cool, but I think, yeah, we'll see.
People are going to send
me a sandwich and a Sunday go to meet
people are going to ride it.
Bow, bow, bow.
There's a market for it.
Did we say anything bad about it?
No.
No, but you know what?
But Chewy did.
No, we didn't say anything. And you know, Chewy. Everybody
just
knows Chewy.
Kidding, though, you know, he plays that.
He
plays that role.
He was riding his Tom Teasdale steel fat bike frame up there and being happy as hell. And I'm a steel guy too.
He's
not that I really have any
chops too.
So that brings us to the next subject. We said we needed to get another project, and now our project is going to be to get Mike Reamer on the Weekly Dose of Fat.
I think he'd kind of go for that.
Think so?
Sure. Well, I mean, why wouldn't he?
My first question, Mike,
a wizard's
tell us about your fat
IPA
bike
can.
Line for 2015.
Carbon Bucksaw.
Carbon Bucksaw.
Hey, somebody had to do it.
Aluminum.
You know, the bike that I want to ride from Salsa is that Blackboro, man.
Yeah, we're working on getting one. Might be a little small for you, though.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
But actually, that was my favorite bike at Saddle Drive. I mean, the Bucksaw was fun, but
that's what I'm
the problem with the Bucksaw was.
Let me
tell you the true problem with the Bucksaw at a place like Snow Basin, where you're supposed to ride one downhill fast, just shredding, is that even going downhill, I kept trying to go faster and I kept trying to pedal, and it was just so competent that I really wore myself out even going downhill. It's like the thing wants to go really fast.
I've been there.
But I don't see it here. I don't. It's not a Midwest bike.
What do you think about a 5-inch bike shootout?
A 5-inch fat bike shootout.
Oh, yeah. Not suspension travel like the cross-country guys.
Right.
Actual man girth, like the tire diameter.
Ice cream truck versus the Blackboro versus the Fatback.
Fatback, yeah, we got that.
The Snowflake, the Whiteout.
The Whiteout.
Can we include the Nexty 90 in there, or does it have to be 100 millimeter
rim? Well, we're talking
rim?
About full, like complete bikes that are 5-inch bikes.
But could like be anywhere from 80 to 100 millimeter rim.
Correct.
Because I'm a big fan of the 80 with a 5-inch, but... Listen.
I'm a big fan of the 5-inch with the 5-inch.
You like your fat bike.
That's my fat bike fat.
So join us next week.
Yeah, next week, you know what? We're going to crack a beer with mountain bike legend and our dirt cousin and Trek pro, mis amigo de las visas gordas.
His name again?
Mr. Downtown, Travis Brown.
I've long been an admirer of his A-game ride burns. JK, I'm sure you're an admirer as well.
Yeah, yes. JK.
JK's got some ride
he's
burns.
Chester A. Arthur, actually.
To his nasal chops.
I was calling him Millard Fillmore for a while, but it turns out it's Chester A. Arthur.
Chester?
I'm jealous, man.
In your Civil War Harper's Weekly collection, you will find Chester A. Arthur etched in 1867 on the cover of Harper's Weekly.
As well.
So, yeah, when I was talking to Travis at the old Iceman up there in Traverse City last weekend, he actually asked, he's like, hey, man, can I join in with you guys on the beer segment? So does that mean that you're going to play Beer Swami next week, Julio?
I will be here unless I drink the rest of this unsessionable. And Travis, I welcome you with open arms. We'll embrace the inner beer geekiness together. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, now our show has inner beer geekness, so that's
that's got
multiple
layers.
So we
just like this beer.
This coming
multiple
week,
layers.
Friday is
like
actually
an everlasting
Friday is actually one of the biggest beer geek days in the entire country. It is the Festival of Barrel and Wood Age Beers in Chicago, otherwise known as FOBAB. Sells out.
Does everybody have to have a mocha?
It sells out in like a minute now. They had to go to three sessions, like 2,000 people a sessions. It is the biggest festival of barrel-aged beer in the country.
I got a marketing idea. Shouldn't some other cities take a little of the pressure off?
No,
all three of our listeners, you can actually vote. Should we keep Julio.com or do we kill him?
You got put a knife through his throat.
I go for keeping.
I'll be there on the behalf of FatBike.com. You quoted Rick Astley earlier, I will be at FOBAB, and I will have a small report next week.
Hey, I think we were out of the show like 5 minutes ago. Are you guys ready to be done or what?
Yeah, that was it. Adios, amigos.
Hey.
So next week.
We're not doing any policy on the show this week.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's Weekly Dose of Fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.